few more kinois before we know a little about Shabbos, then we will get ready for the Shabbos. We're running out of time very quickly. Okay, Rabbi Isai, please. Rabbi Isai, let's begin. Let's begin. So we did over here, Ohali. Okay, you know, there's so many things going on. We're just touching upon little teeny pieces on each kina. Let's now learn kina yud gimel. I'm just going to run through them very quickly. Kina yud gimel is a favorite. Nothing's a favorite on Tisha B'Av, but kina yud gimel is Eicha. We break up Eicha into Eikoi. Where is the koi? I think there are 13 lines. Is that interesting? It's the 13th kina, and there are 13 different expressions, if I'm not mistaken. 13 kos in this kina, which include Koye Zarecha, Vani Vahanar Nelcha at Koy Yakeda, in Ko Yaakov Avinu, when he went to Lavan, in Ko Yoimar Akudim Yesuchorecha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he hit the Mitzri, Vayifen Koy Vachoy Vayar Kenish. Matan Torah, Koy Soymar Levne Yisrael, Eke Shilochani Alechem, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came to redeem Klal Yisrael. Birchos Kehanim, Koy Savaruchu Esmine Yisrael, Makas Bechoyrois, Koy Omar Hashem Echatzas Alayla, Ma'an Torah, Koy Samal, Lebeis Yaakov, Visagei Levnei Yisrael. A whole collection of all of the famous Kos in the Torah. Each one of these events is a very great merit for Klal Yisrael. And we would expect that these highlights of our history should serve as a sanego, a defense attorney for Klal Yisrael, that in times when we are not doing with Sonu Shalmakam, at least Hashem should give us a chance to do Teshuvah. And here we complain, a koi, where are the koyis? Okay, a lot of questions. These, you know, like we said before, there's a lot of connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. Both Pesach and Tisha B'Av, we ask questions. We ask questions on both of these days. What is the difference between Pesach and the questions that we ask on Pesach and the questions that we ask on Tisha B'Av? The difference is that on Pesach there are answers. A whole night of answers. On Tisha B'Av there are a lot of questions, but there are no answers. These are questions. They're tough questions. We say, Eka, where's the Zchus of the Bris Ben Abisarim? What happened? Koye Zarecha. What happened to this Akedah? Vani Vahanar Nelcha at Koy. Question. Why didn't these events serve for Klal Yisrael as a merit that we should still have the Beis HaMikdash? Couldn't Hashem find another way to discipline us without destroying the Beis HaMikdash? What happened? These are tough questions, and there are no answers. Pesach, there are questions. Ma nishtana halayla hazem yikol halaylas. And there are answers. There are answers to the question. Avodim hayinu. Tisha B'Av. Questions, no answers. It's a different level of emuna. Pesach, you teach children emuna. Tisha B'Av, you teach emuna. But it's a different curriculum, it's a different course. There's emuna with answers. And then there is a degree of emuna where you have to be a maimon even when you don't have the answers, because there are no answers to these questions, as well as many of the questions that we learned in the kinas. Look at the previous kina. Lama lanetzach. Why for so long have we been in galus? Ve'ayei. We have the word ve'ayei. There are many different expressions that are used in the kinas to express our questions. Okay, now we go to kina. Next kina is kina. That was Yud Gimel. Kina, let's see, Kina Yud Dalid. We're not going to do this Kina at all. Kina Yud Dalid is, okay, this is a very difficult Kina. And basically, it touches upon a very lofty concept that it was meant to be from the very beginning that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And this goes back to, let's talk about the Chet of Adam and Chava, the Eitz Hadas. What would have been if Adam would not have listened to his wife? Mary, what would have been? If Adam would not have listened to Chava, what would have been if Chava would not have listened to the Nachash? What would have been? So Adam and Chava would live forever in Gan Eden. What about all of us? We wouldn't be here? What? I can't hear.
not going to wear a suit.
A suit. But we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't even be here. What would have been? So a lot of the commentators say, and it draws from some of the sources in this kina, it was meant to be from day one, Adam would eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's part of the plan. I know this is very Kabbalistic stuff. It was meant to be. What, Hashem was going to make this world just for Adam and Chava, and they shouldn't eat from the Eitz Hadas, and that would be it? They would just sit in Gan Eden the whole day? And there wouldn't be a world, there wouldn't be a world, this world, the complexity will go...
Too many people in the world.
Depopulation? Yeah. Oh, Gvalt. What about all the conspiracy theories over here? Depopulation, don't go out there. In Shemayim, they ask, Osakta, Bepriya, or Revia? They ask you, what did you do to increase the population? There are a bunch of crazy Mishagoyim out there who are very busy figuring out how to decrease the population. When you come to Shemayim, what do they ask you? Osakta, Bepriya, or Revia? Were you busy with bringing about an increase in the population of this world?
That's only because people are dying. But if nobody ever died, then what would that statement still be?
This kina relates, we're not going to, okay, this kina discusses the theme that it was meant to be from day one, that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And that forces us to reflect upon the Churban Beis HaMikdash differently. In a certain way, this is almost a tinge of comfort. It was expected. Don't get too carried away. For example, I remember someone told me, let's say you have a Gadol B'Yisrael, he passes away, talking to someone who passed away, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. How old was Rav Chaim Kanievsky? No, he was in his 90s. 95, 96? He was something like 96, I think, something like that, 95. And when he passed away, the whole Klal Yisrael, when he passed away, the whole Klal Yisrael mourned. Terrible avelos. Today, they're going to be darshening the whole day about Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Tishabosh. So, everyone is in such a state of distraught and shock. What would have been if you go back 96 years ago into the wherever his mother gave birth to him? I don't know if they had hospitals in those days. Wherever she gave birth, you go over to the mother 5 minutes after he's born, and you see the mother holding Rav Chaim Kanievsky in her hands, and you say to her, I want to tell you something. I know for sure, I came from a time machine. I came back on a time machine from Star Trek, and I could tell you that this child that you have is going to be healthy, and he's going to live until the ripe old age of 96. When he will die, he will have hundreds of grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and they'll all be Yirei Mushleim, and he'll be the Gadol Hador also. He'll know Kol HaTorah Kulo. That's what I want to let you know. And I'll have a very... And I'll have a, what? So what? Tell me, what would his mother say? His mother could not be happier. There's nothing you can possibly say gives simcha to a human being in this world than to tell the mother of Chaim Kanievsky, if you go back in the time machine and tell her, oh, you see this little baby over here? He's going to live until 96 years old.
Of course she's going to live.
She'll be jumping for joy. What?
Why not 97?
Oh, so Mayor is... But let's say you would say 90, you say 96. She would be jumping for joy. What more can I ask for? So why then is it that when Itaka dies, when Itaka dies, no one's jumping for joy? Everyone is mourning. Okay, everyone is mourning. It puts something. Mark, I can't compete. I can't compete. We have to. So what's the answer? The very fact that he did live to 96. And Baruch Hashem, he was the Gadol Hador and everything that we just said, it does add a dimension of Nechama. What do you expect? What do you expect he's going to live forever? It does change the dynamics of how you look at death. When you know in advance, this is inevitable. This is the plan. This was the plan from day one. This kina is very interesting kina. because it reveals a concept which it's very hard to grasp this kingdom because we don't understand. You're dealing with time. You're dealing with knowledge of the future that it was always meant to be.
It was built in.
It was built into the system.
Can I just point out that a quick look tells me there are at least three midrashim that are referenced here that I have written about in my sefer. So we saw Tohu Vavohu, the Brisbane of Sarim, and the ladder, Olivia Yardin.
Yeah.
Which all are
revelations of what is going to be. Revelations of the future, of what will occur. This was always meant to happen. So why is the Skina doing here? Is the Kalir trying to give us comfort? Maybe. Maybe there is an element here of Nechama being no bile. The Kalir denied all the Kinais. The Kalir's Kinais, you know, we're coming to an end with the Kalir's Kinais. They are more scattered later on. The Kalir is like winding down. You know, part of the whole process of saying Kinais is you first, you say the harsh Kinais, and then you begin to give a little comfort. So the Kinais of the Kalir are beginning to, there are 21 Kinais in the Kalir in Tisha B'Av. They're coming, is there a degree of comfort? Possibly, I don't know. Now the next Kinais is Kinyan Tezvav. Kinyan Tezvav is everyone's favorite Kina. Let me say it one time, listen very carefully. Kinyan Tezvav is everyone in the entire Klal Yisrael's favorite kina to skip. To skip. One more time. It's everyone's favorite kina to skip. Why? Because no one understands one word that it says, and no one has the patience to say it. It goes on forever.
Yeah.
Goes on. Half of your book. Half of the book of the kinas is kina tezvav. Okay, it is extremely sophisticated. You need a map. You need to take sefer eicha and have a map, and take out color pens and try to match the words to the various perakim in eicha and the toichacha as well. The toichacha also plays an important part of the pattern. And repeat the Aleph Beis numerous times in the process. It's a maze. It's a zoo. It's all of these things together. The Kalir wrote it.
He wrote this for memory.
This is a masterpiece.
He wrote this for memory. We don't know.
What do you mean for memory? He wrote it on paper. What do you mean?
I'm talking about he just
papyrus.
Did he do research and go back?
The Kalir knew everything. The Kalir, some learned that he was a Tana. Some suggest that he was Rabbi Lozer, but Rabbi Shimon. The Kalir was a malach Elokim. The Kalir is recognized as being one of a kind. He's in a league to himself. He's in a league to himself. We don't know when he lived. We don't even know when he lived. We don't know where he lived. And his words were written with Ruach HaKodesh, obviously. This is a very complicated kina. What they're basically doing is it's summarizing Eicha. Megillas Eicha, together interlaced with the Toichacha. The key words of this kina are drawn from Eicha, from the Toichacha, with numerous repetitions of the sequence of the Aleph Beis. And I don't know what it says. I'm not going to make clear. I don't know what it says. I just never really applied myself to try to figure this out. And I see that I discovered that I'm not the only one. There are a lot of resources. There are many resources online and in books available in the bookstore and online. And every year it only increases more and more. And the more and more people increase to elucidate the kinas, the more they insult this kina. This kina, for some reason, just has no mazel. No one wants to try to figure out what's going on over here. No one wants to figure out what's going on here, and it's beyond. And if in your shul they read kina tezvav, good luck.
Begin at 12 o'clock anyway.
Good luck. Okay, No, it's you know, art scroll, listen, it's very nice. I have the art scroll, they have over here, interlinear, it's beautiful. Each word is translated. Okay? It doesn't, I don't know about you, if it does justice for you, kol hakavod. It goes on and on and on, and keep on turning, just keep on turning those pages. Okay, let's now go to Kina Tezayin. Kina Tezayin is a very... What? Sukim, I told you, it's a maze. You have to go take Sefer Megillas. You have to know Megillas. Before you learn Kina Tezvav, you have to know Eicha literally backwards. Not forwards, backwards. You got to know backwards. You know, children, if you want to know, this is a very interesting thing. Test children on the Aleph base. This is not a joke. You go to a kid, learn the industry, you ask him the Aleph base. And then ask him to say the Aleph base backwards. It's not a joke. Children in elementary school, they have to be taught this, and some of them are. It's not enough for the child to know the Aleph base forwards. You have to know it backwards. You don't know something until you know it backwards. There are only 22 letters of the Aleph. How many people here can rattle off backwards the Aleph base? And how many adults? Talmid Chachamim can rattle off in a second backwards.
Not as fast as you do it forward.
Why not? You should be able to do it backwards just as fast.
A good proofreader, and I did proofreading, is you read backwards.
Interesting.
You read it backwards, because then you don't get lost in skipping
saying good.
Because
you right away see those typos. He's saying very good. He's saying something very powerful.
Keep comparing backwards.
Right. When you're reading it, you lose. When you're reading it, you get absorbed in the content. And you get lost, you forget the detail. Copy editor, your copy editor is not to make comments. It's just to make sure that all the words are spelled correctly and the punctuation is correct and the periods and the paragraphs are lined up. So you don't have to understand what it says. It can be Greek. So go backwards. He's saying very good. Okay, let's go further. We're out of time. Kina Tezayin, Zuchod is a very important. Kina Zuchash, also Tsar. Now, how do you say that word? Tsar. So in the art scroll, it says Bifinim. In this Kina, it's taka very good. It brings down there two nuschois. Also, it's Tsar Bifinim. That is the more accurate. It appears that's the more popular. Bifinim. But if you're sloppy, you'll say Tsar Bifnim. Bifnim. They're different words. They're completely different words. There's something called the Evan HaPina, the cornerstone. The word Pina means strength. It means a foundation. It means strength. Bifnim means inside. So this Kina discusses what Titus did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is Lifnai Vilifnim. He walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He desecrated by doing an Avera on top of a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So does that mean that since that's what it says in the Kina, you're going to read the words Zuchar Shosh Tzar Bifnim? Then it should be Bifnim. If the focus of this Kina is what happened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you should read it the Tzar Bifnim. But that's not necessarily correct, because the Kina discusses a lot more than just what Titus did inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It describes... No, I don't know.
No,
the beginning, it's the emphasis.
And,
I don't know. Not necessarily. But the other, it appears that most of the kinois that we have, the pronunciation is Tsar Bifinim. What the Tsar did to our strength. It's a word which is really, it's a pasuk. I don't have the pasuk. It says over here in the article the pasuk. The Tsar compared with Zechariah 14:10. Oh, they have here in the Yerushalayim. I'm sorry, they do have both the Girsois. There's a pasuk in Zechariah that says that the Beis HaMikdash is the Pinim. The Pinim, it's like the cornerstone. The Evan HaPina.
Yeah.
A cornerstone usually represents the foundation stone. The building rests upon the strength of this stone. The world exists only in the Zuchus of the Beis HaMikdash, of Klal Yisrael. Here, there are many Bifinims. There are children. Okay, in this Kina, the end of the Kina, we discussed the heroism. The Kiddush Hashem of the children that were taken on ships, on three ships, they were taken to Rome for the purpose of sin. Okay? If you read the conspiracy channels, they talk about trafficking. I don't even want to say the words. What goes on in this world today
with trafficking
with children. Nothing is new. what goes on today in this the dark world that you read about on some of these Telegram channels that you should not be reading, wasting your time on, is nothing new. This has been going on for 2,000 years. And that's exactly what it says here in this kina. They took children, they stole children from Yerushalayim, Malchut Beis HaMikdash, they put them on boats to ship them out, to do with them, you know what. And these children, they gave up their lives. They committed, they gave up their lives to Hashem so that they should not be objects of Aveir. The Pinim, these are the Pinim of the world. These children, these holy children, these are the real Pinim. This
I think you meant something else.
That's another word. Okay, the Pinim is to clean out that the Beis HaMikdash. It's alluding to that. It's alluding to that. Okay, there's a whole keen on that. There's actually a whole keen on that that talks about that idea. There's a whole keen on that. Okay, it's an idea. It's a drush. But I think Poshup Shat, that's Pino, Pino with the hay. The word actually Pinim means in the strength. The strength of Klal Yisrael. The strength of Klal Yisrael is the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Klei Shareis. It's the Sanhedrin, the different things, everything that's mentioned over here in this kina represents one of the cornerstones of Judaism, of Klal Yisrael. The children are the Pinim of Klal Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is the Pinim of Klal Yisrael. Okay, it talks about the Bachurav, Avosenu Zora, our ancestors at the time when they brought in Avodah Zarah Bachu. They brought, I'm reading the wrong passage. Okay, there are many different themes over here in this kina that discuss elements of Klal Yisrael that are the Pinim. Okay, let's go further. Okay, also, this is the only kina, by the way, that makes mention of the Koisel Hamaravi. Okay, the Koisel Hamaravi is this is where it is. This is the only place, I think, in all the kinas that talks about the Koisel Hamaravi. Okay, kina Yud Zayin talks about the horrific, there are two kinas that discuss this topic, about the murder of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Zechariah ben Yehoyada, he lived approximately, over 100 years before the Churban. Okay, Zechariah ben Yehoyada lived whose time? I have to go look this up, very important to know exactly when he lived. Zechariah ben Yehoyada, he lived in the early times. He lived, let's say, I'm assuming the time of Yeshaya, that time, maybe a little bit later. And what happened with Zechariah ben Yehoyada? The Jewish people were worshipping idols. They were doing terrible averas. And he was a Navi. He was a Kohen. Some say he was a Kohen Gadol. He was giving Musar. He was in the Beis HaMikdash. It was Shabbos, Yom HaKippurim, and he was preaching, and he was telling the Jewish people, cut out the nonsense. It's Shabbos, it's Yom Kippur, I'm a Navi, this is the Beis HaMikdash. Enough of the Avodah Zarah. It's time to do Teshuvah. The people didn't like it. They didn't like being told what to do. So they sent a message to the Melech. They sent a message to Yehu. Who was the king at that time? I think it was Yehu. And they said, you know, this Navi, he's really on our nerves. He's getting on our nerves. He's giving us Musar daily. Enough already of this guy. Can you please give us permission to eliminate him? And the Melech said, yeah, get rid of him. And they assassinated him in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, Yom Kippur, as he was giving Musa to Klal Yisrael not to worship idols for your own good. His blood bubbled. They tried to clean up, would not stop bubbling for years. And this went on for, I think, over 100 years. Until Nebuzaradan, the chief executioner of Nebuchadnezzar, together with Titus, they came into the Beis HaMikdash after they conquered Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, and they saw this blood bubbling. And he asked, what is this? Mazet. So they said, I don't know, just some natural occurrence. It's a carbon, it's an animal of blood of an animal that for some reason the bubbles. And he knew something was wrong, and he made a thorough investigation. And he learned the truth that years ago, hundreds of years ago, 100 years ago, the Jewish people murdered a priest, Zechariah ben Yehoyada, on this very spot. And the Nebuzaradan said to the blood, I will appease this crime. And this is an irony of the Churban. This is a horrific irony where the Goyim are coming to say to us at the time of our Churban, the self-righteousness. Look, a crime was committed. I will be the one that will atone for your sins. And how are you going to atone for our sins? By you committing even worse sins of murdering a million, he murdered almost a million people on this blood. I mean, the irony here is unsettling. A Rasha, Nebuzaradan, is coming to give us Musa. You committed a horrific crime. So I'm giving you Musa. How am I going to give you Musa? By committing a crime. By murdering all of you. To atone for your sins. And what about you? What about you? Self-righteousness? What about you? You're murdering children. And he went, Nebuzaradan, and on this spot, he murdered, I think Chazal say, almost a million people. And the blood still continued to bubble. He then said to the blood, Zechariah, I've already taken the best.
Commentary says 1,100,000.
1,100,000 people were murdered on this spot?
Yeah,
okay.
No, it's okay, good.
Of course. Said to the blood, I've already taken the best of Klal Yisrael. Do you want me to finish them all off? And at that moment in time, the blood stopped bubbling. So the question is, okay, that was the story. Okay. Now that was the story which took place at the end of the Churban. This kina is a very disturbing kina, where it describes, at the time of the Churban, it describes basically one thing, the death of children. Okay, it's a very sensitive topic, where children were murdered. All different types of children. Children, you know, infants, toddlers, adolescents, young men. You know, there are all different stages in life where you look at a person, oh, he's just a child. And even Nashim that were pregnant, their fetuses were aborted. Okay? And the pain of witnessing a young person, their life being taken, being murdered, it's not to be believed. I read recently about Babi Yar. So Babi Yar, they estimated about 90,000 Jews were killed there in total. In 2 days, when it first started, they killed 34,000 Jews over a two-day period of time. And most of the people that were killed, they were women, children, and Zikane. And there was one area where they took children, and the Nazis who did this, they were later captured, and they were put on trial, and they testified the screaming that was going on when they murdered the children. It still echoes in their ears. These are the Rishon Yimach Shimon V'Zichron. And they themselves describe what they did. And they murdered children, and the screaming of the screaming children is nothing like the screaming of screaming children in the world. All the horrors in the Holocaust, all the sounds of murder, there is no sound like the sound of a child being murdered. And that's what it says here. Alamani. That's what this kid is. And why did this happen? Why did it happen? So the Kalir at the end says, It's because you murdered Zechariah. My inyan Zechariah, what is the murder of Zechariah have? What's the correlation? Mida k'neged mida? We don't have time. That's a whole different topic. And the truth is, whatever you say is not going to answer the question. Who's going to be a fool to think that you can answer these questions? It's a question that has to be asked and has to be explained, but there's absolutely no way you can possibly understand. That's what it says. The Kali wrote this. I mean, anyone today that tells you why, you stay away from. But the Kalir here says why. And, you know, it doesn't answer the question. But we are juxtaposing two horrific, horrific events. The horror of what happened to these children at the Churban Bayis Rishon, and the horror of Klal Yisrael murdering in cold blood, for no good reason, a Navi, a Kohen Gadol, on Shabbos, Yom HaKippurim. It's just horrific. Okay, that's Kino Yud Zayin. Kino Yud Ches discusses the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. When the Nifleis Yaniv Yamech, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal to the Hashem that he should not rest his divine presence upon the Umma Yisraelah. And it expresses in many different ways. It expresses in many different ways the uniqueness. That's the theme of Kino Yud Ches. Gesundheit. Kino Yud Ches. Kino Yud Ches is Tzidek Adin. L'cho Hashem Atztoko V'lonu Boishe Saponim. Tzidek Adin. Okay, we say Tzidek Adin Mishem Malchus. We discussed yesterday every single Shabbos. When you make the bracha after you read the Haftorah, you make a bracha, Hatsur Kol Ha'lamim Tzadik B'chol Adoreis, Tzidek Adin V'loshim 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 Saponim. Kino Chof. Kino Chof is Chutzpah. This is a very powerful Kino. It describes the Nazis, Amish the Nazis. The opening line, Hatela Kayoshal Lisifletzes Mina Etzes Vili Vashamayim. The wicked people in this world, with the ultimate chutzpah and blasphemy, how they ignore and how they deny Hashem's existence. There's certain people I can name in this generation that's on the conspiracy channels that such incredible apikorsim, it's not to be believed. Not to be believed, the rishis of these people. There's an element here of chutzpah. It's not just rishis. It's a rishis interlaced with brazen chutzpah. People throughout history who have risen up against the Jewish people with statements, l'sifletzes mina etzes. These words mean, they're translated here in the art school, who blaspheme saying to the frightened ones. I don't like that translation. Lisif letzes mina etzes mili bashamayim. Okay, the mina etzes means people who curse. Lisif letzes, it's an expression of like a chutzpah, an azus panim, mili bashamayim, and it goes on and on. Over here it goes on and on, describing all different expressions of brazen behavior by our enemies to destroy us. Kino Chof Aleph is the Asara Harugei Malchus. Okay, we're a little out of time, so we can't go, but the Asara Harugei Malchus is a central theme. Why do we read about the Asara Harugei Malchus? Chazal say, the Asara Harugei Malchus is punishment for Mechiras Yosef. How does that work? I have no idea. What is Mechiras Yosef? Why did these people have to suffer for an Aveira that they did not do? It's a big mystery. But Chazal say that the Asara Harugei Malchus was a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. This is extremely relevant for Tisha B'Av, because Mechiras Yosef is the ultimate Sinas Chinam. The Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The brothers of Yosef committed the ultimate act of Sinas Chinam to attempt to kill their own brother. There's no greater act of Sinas Chinam than this. Okay, next. That's Kinechav Al, Kinechav Beis. Kinechav Beis is the first of four kinas describing the first crusade. The first crusade is very unique in world history, in Jewish suffering, for one important reason. The Jews killed themselves. They sacrificed themselves, they gave up their own lives, they killed their own children, they offered their children almost as korbanos, so that they should not be given over to the Crusaders. Where do you find that in Jewish history? In Jewish history, when the Goyim came to, first of many times, many times in Jewish history, we don't have a choice. When the Nazis, they didn't give Jews a choice if they would convert. It didn't make a difference if you want to convert. You're a Jew, you're of Jewish blood, you have to be killed. Here, the Crusaders gave the Jews a choice. If you convert to Christianity, we will not kill you. Now, the adults chose death, but the children would be taken by the Crusaders and raised as Christians. So instead of letting that happen, the Jewish people, the people of Ashkenaz, along the Rhineland, Speyer, Hilesum, Speyer, Mainz, and Varmiza, they chose to take their children in advance and slaughter them. And when they slaughtered them, they basically said, we're offering you as korbanos to Hashem, better than let you be taken by the Crusaders and raised as Christians. Better die a Jew than live as a good. Okay, that's Kino Chav Beis. Now, the truth, there are four of these. There are four kinos that reflect upon the First Crusade. Two of them are explicit. Kino Chav Beis, and there's another kino, I think it's Kino Chav Hei. Kino Chav Hei actually mentions the dates and provides you a historical account of what happened. There are another two kinos which, in some of the kinos, they tell you that this also was composed in the response to the First Crusade, but it's not really so clear. It's not really so clear that it refers to the First Crusade. It could be there were other events in Jewish history where there were similar circumstances, and it's related. Kino Chaf Gimel. Kino Chaf Gimel is the kina of the Ben Ubas of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Okay, a horrific story of the two children that were taken by two captors, and they wanted to market them by producing offspring, and they were taken into a room to be mated, and each one went into the corner and they cried until the morning. They saw each other and they embraced and they died in tzar. Kina Chavdalid is Kina Chavdalid is, I don't know where it is, I forgot. What is Kina Chavdalid talking about? Kina Chavdalid, all the furnishings. Oh,
Caleb.
There are two kinas like this. There are two kinas like this which go out and they delineate every. It's like taking inventory. Taking inventory of the Beis HaMikdash. Go through all of the elements in the Beis HaMikdash and discuss them piece by piece. There are two kinas that actually do this. Kina Chavdalid. Kina Chav Hei is about the First Crusade. Kina Chavav is Yirmiyahu. He sees a woman. No, I'm sorry. Kina Chavav is when Yirmiyahu goes to the Avos. Right, he goes to the Avos. He's Mispalel. He goes to the Kever of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and no response. They say, good, let the Jews get what they deserve.
Not Moshe and Aaron.
Yes, Moshe goes to and Aaron.
Nobody knows where Moshe is. Oh,
a good question. Yes, a very good question. How did Yirmiyahu HaNavi know where Moshe was to go to Moshe's kever? Good question. But it says that he does. He goes there. He did go there. I don't know how. I don't know where he found where he was.
Yirmiyahu,
he goes there. And basically the Avos and Moshe and Aaron say there's nothing we can do for you. And then he goes to the Imohois. He goes to Rachel, Leah, Bila, Zilpah. They get a lot of promotion here. Bila, Zilpah, Rachel, Leah, and then Mispalel, and Hashem answers. And that it doesn't say this, but the famous Chazal is that it was only Rachel. Rachel Mevake al.
Your notes say that the Kalir's source is unknown.
Unknown, correct? It's unknown because he does not mention over here Rachel. He mentions all of the Imos together were Mispalel. And Hashem says, yes. Malei amalei kol mishal osechem shulachti bovel lamanchanini moshev golos b'neichem. Okay, kina chavches. Oh, kina chavches. The dal malchiyos. Powerful kina. Powerful, powerful kina. I'm sorry, chavzayin. Sorry, what is chavzayin? Chavzayin is the crusades. I'm sorry, kina chavzayin. No. Kina chavzayin. I'm sorry, kina chavzayin. Right, kina chavzayin is the woman in black. A woman in black appears to Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu is frightened. Who are you? You are a human being, or you are a malach, you are a shade. These are none of the above. I represent Knesset Yisrael. I am in tsar over the Jewish people, and she gives all these numbers. I am 1, I am 70, I am 60, all the different attributes of Klal Yisrael, and she says to Yirmiyahu, be mispalel for your people. Kina Chavches is the Dalid Malchias. It's a fascinating kina. It's written up in Ruach HaKodesh. It is clear as day, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the last chunk of this kina is written up in Ruach HaKodesh, is describing modern history. It's describing... I don't know. It must be. The end of Kina Chavches is describing, without a shadow of a doubt, describing the Crusades, is describing World War I, describing the Holocaust and beyond. All of the tsaros, the blood libel, that's all there. It's explicit. Kina Chavches, again, goes back to the First Crusade. Okay? Kina Chavches is the First Crusade. Okay? Kina Lamed, again, is an accounting. We take inventory of the Beis HaMikdash. Kina Lamed, let me turn to the page, okay, Kina Lamed, what is Kina Lamed about? Kina Lamed is...
Saras.
Oh, the Saras, the Beis HaMikdash has Saras, right, has Saras. Kina Lamed Aleph is everyone's favorite Kina, they sing this Kina. Age to God, because we contrast Bitsesi Mimitshraim Bitsesi Mimitshraim Bitsesi Mimitshraim Bitsesi Mimitshraim. Kina Lamed Beis is the detailed accounting. Okay, this is the second one of those kinos that take inventory. Kina Lamed Gimel, we go back to the First Crusade. Okay, Kina Lamed Dalid is. Kina Lamidalid,
the murder,
there's the second one. That's the parallel of the murder of Zechariah. There are two kinas, the murder of Zechariah, the children, and here it fills in the missing details of the murder of Zechariah. Then we begin the tzioins. There are 9 kinas of the tzioins describing the beauty of Yerushalayim. Now, I know we don't have time now, but I want to suggest over here that the order of these tzioins is found in Moshe Rabbeinu by the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Meraglim, check out the land, Moho Oretz, and he gives a whole set of criteria. If you look at these kinois, it's going in order of the criteria of Moshe Rabbeinu of finding the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. In the middle is the kino Mem Aleph that describes the Sreifa Satoira, and that's it. And then you come to kino Lamed, kino Mem Dalid, which is Elitzion Vihoreha, Kemo Yisho Vitzireha, cry out like a woman who's in labor pains, and we have the custom to say a kina for the Chorban of Yerushalayim. Let me just conclude over here with Vodom Shabbos Kodesh. It's now Shabbos Chazoin. Okay, there's a lot to say. It's very, we don't have much time, but Shabbos Chazoin. This year, Tisha B'Av, it's unique. Because this year, the truth is, tomorrow is Tisha B'Av. Tonight is Tisha B'Av. Really, we should be sitting on the floor tonight, and we should observe in Tisha B'Av. This year, our Tisha B'Av has been transformed into a day of rest. Shabbos is unique. Shabbos, in general, throughout the entire year, is described in the words of Chazal as a Yom of Menucha. What do we say in Mitzvah? We say, what do we add into the benching? Ki atahu baal ha-yeshuois u-baal ha-nechomois. On Shabbos, every single Shabbos we mention, that Hashem is the Baal of Menucha, of Nechama, of comfort. We look at Shabbos on a very simple level, that Shabbos is a day of rest. So Yom Menucha. It's not just Yom Menucha. Shabbos is a day of Nechama. And what does Nechama mean? What is Nechama? Nechama, in its most literal sense, means Vayinochem Hashem. Hashem had a change of attitude. When Hashem saw that other, the man had sinned, and Hashem needs now to destroy the world. Vayinochem Hashem. Hashem had to change in plan. Shabbos, in a very simple understanding, we come to Shabbos, the whole week we're working. We're trying to achieve goals. And then we have a day of rest. And on the day of rest, we say, Ki atu bal ha-yishuv, suval ha-nechamos. It's now a time to reassess, to recalibrate. What's the purpose of all this? And maybe to change our outlook on life, our goals. Ki atu hubal ha-yishuv, suval ha-nechamos. But when Shabbos falls out on Tisha B'Av, then the word bal ha-nechamos takes on the more popular meaning of the word nechama. It's all the same. Obviously, when a person is in Ovel and you're coming to give him comfort, you're attempting to change his mind, to change his outlook. Tragedy has happened, but you have to pick yourself up and go forward and deal with the situation in a way, a responsible way, but a way that is uplifting and productive, and not to get mired, not to get anchored and stuck. So when you give comfort, it touches upon the concept of attempting to make a change in a person's outlook. But it means, in our vocabulary, on a very simple level, comfort. So the whole year round, when we bench and we recite with Seva Chalitzeni, when we come to the last words, Ki atu bal ha-yeshua suval ha-nechamois, it's a day of nechama, in the sense it's time now to reassess what the purpose of life is all about and what our goals are. But tomorrow, tonight, is Tisha B'Av. Sunday is a nidche, the fast is a nidche. And what do we need on Tisha B'Av? We need comfort. This year Tisha B'Av is a different Tisha B'Av. Ordinarily Tisha B'Av is a day of avelus. It's avelus. The Nechama comes next week. The Shiva de Nechemta. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ali. That's next week. That's not this week. But this year we get a bonus. The Nechama starts tomorrow. We get a bonus. The Tisha B'Av itself is a Nechama. Ki ato, we say tomorrow at least three times. Ki ato hu bal ha-yeshua is uvahal. We say in the Ritzei, Shaniachon Shaloi Tehei Tzora of the Yogoyim B'yoyim Menuchaseinu. There's no day in the world that's a greater Yogoyim Va'anocha than Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day of Yogoyim Va'anocha. I mean, what else is there? And yet tonight, tomorrow, we're going to say, Chiniach Lanu, Hashem Elokeinu, Shaloi Tehei Tzora the Yogoyim Va'anocha B'yom Menuchaseinu. It's a tremendous opportunity. This year, Tisha B'Av, it's a different type of Tisha B'Av. It says in the Mishnah, Arboha Rosh Hashanah. There are four days in the year that are called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, for Ma'aseh Behema, Elul Rosh Hashanah, Kol Adam goes before Hashem, Kivnei Morim, Aleph Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah Li'ilonais, Rosh Hashanah, Peros, Lilanoi, there are Dalid from Malach for kings. For kings, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Hashanah, Malachim. It says in the Mishnah Masechet Rosh Hashanah, there are Bar Rosh. There are certain part times of the year where that's the beginning. Tisha B'Av is the Rosh Hashanah for dealing with Churban. Every person has to deal on their level with trouble, things that are Churban for Klal Yisrael and Churban in their own life. Every person has issues. The Rosh Hashanah for dealing with Eicha Yashva Badad is Tisha B'Av. From this day, the success on the Rosh Hashanah affects the whole year. We draw from Rosh Hashanah Chizuk for the whole year. Whatever happens on Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, affects the whole year. Miyichim Yomus. Whatever happens, Aleph Elul, affects the animals. Which animal is Ma'aseh Behema? Which one goes? The Rosh Hashanah has an effect on the entire year. This year, the Rosh Hashanah of Tisha B'Av is Nechama. ki ato hu bal ha-yeshuos uval ha-nechamos. Sheloi tehei tsoro v'yogoyim v'anocha b'yoy menuchaseinu. Simone milsa. On Rosh Hashanah you do things, and those things that are done serve as a sign for the whole year. This year we have an opportunity of changing everything. Because built into the Tisha B'Av of this year, there is no Yogon Va'anoch. There is only Nechama. There is only Chizuk. And we have a duty to draw to take that with us. This year is also a very special year. Very important to recognize this. We have here from Eretz Yisrael, come to Eretz HaKodesh, from where they observe Shemitah. Shemitah, and with this Shemitah, the Chiz Soymar Bashana Hashishis. Hey, loy nizra v'loy nesav es tivu aseinu. Manoichal! Manoichal v'ashona hashriyas. What are we going to eat? Manoichal! What are we going to do? If you don't work, there's no food. What are we going to do? Hashem says, have emunah. Have emunah. Have faith in me. Vitzi visi es birchosi v'ashona hashishis v'yosos es hatvu l'shloish hashanim. Have emunah. Shabbos? You don't work on Shabbos. If you don't work on Saturday, don't come back Monday. How are you going to survive if you don't work on Saturday? Have emunah. What is Tisha B'Av all about? What do you teach on Tisha B'Av? Emunah. Ani mamin be'emunah shleima b'vias Mashiach v'yaf al pi sheyitzmameh im kol zeachak le'bechol yom sheyovah. This year, it's the chut hamishulosh of emunah. The day of Tisha B'Av is the day of Emunah. Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. We don't make Havdalah, Mitzvah Tisha B'Av. If you don't make Havdalah, it's still Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't end until Sunday night. It's a Shabbos to Tisha B'Av. And it's Shemitah. This is the Shemitah year. This year Shemitah is the ultimate toikif of Emunah, the Chut HaMishulosh of Emunah. And that Emunah will carry us not just through the year, but will carry us to bring the Geula B'Mehera V'Yomeinu on. Have a easy fast. Meaningful, it goes without saying. It goes without saying it's meaningful, that's Pashat. But it's also be easy. What? Amen. 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 Amen.
Right.
It's interesting, there's no Basam at all. by the fire of the night.
Yom Kippur was in
the Yom Kippur. You make the Sabbath Yom Kippur.
So this week is just getting ready to go. I joined you digitally, but with all that, we got stuck with my wife that got identity theft.
Identity theft? Oh, yeah.
It's been going on for a while, but this week was the one. I was in the
work. All
right.
Maya Fried.
Maya.
Yes,
I'm
thank you.
The number. Oh, what can I do?
Bill Benzos.
Okay, this is the mafia that.
Oh, wow. Good, we've never heard that before.
You have a sheet that has, just like you said, the one liner, what each paragraph is about?
A sheet that each paragraph is about? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I don't have it.
So make
you
should
make
one.
Yeah.
All right.
And go to Postma?
Yeah, I don't know yet. Maybe I usually go to the down there, but I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. It's hard for me to
write. Oh, I don't make it.
He does.
Online.
It depends. It can be very lucky. Today they gave out on the shul all this.
Yeah, no one's
listen.
That's fine with me.
If one person comes,
It's good for the seekers. There's one of the seekers who told them. He told them last year that we're not doing anymore. Last year
you
already
said. Yeah, there's some speakers that I would dafka not come
from. I agree with you.
I would dafka not come.
Okay.
And the other one at the door, you know, last one. Or the other place I didn't mind paying, but I would say, you're paying Rabbi Frank? He's doing your half the day. He's doing the work.
So tell him.
No, so him you're paying? Huh? So I'm going to pay him directly.
One speaker, it's so true, he goes on, he told me, no, it's not going. We're going to call a call. He was so distraught.
That he couldn't speak?
Yeah. He says, no, I'll give you
$500. Yeah?
$500.
I know one of the guys who it is. He's a rabbi of Agoda or something, right?
Yeah, $500. $500. No, don't take this away from me.
Yeah?
So it's Kedai just for him.
Yeah?
Why not? It's Kedai just for him. And it's Kedai also for their wives.
Yeah.
My husband's on the phone. It's Kedai. Look, I had Mitzvah Shabbos with the staff, the super staff field. They have it now in
here. Are they learning about is Safras?
No. Who's Safras? Dafyomi?
Yeah.
Oh, Mishneh Berurah.
The Dershu.
The Dershu Mishneh Berurah.
He's sending all the different Mitzvah Shabbos.
Out of it, that this coming exam.
It's going to be an old Oasis.
The Oasis. We only ask one question from the old Oasis.
The expert on that is, I said to one, David Christian Gunzberg.
Who's that?
He was in the 1850s, he was an Eloy in Vilna.
He
went to London, the Biblical Association hired him. He wrote an encyclopedia, 3 volumes. He went to St. Petersburg, like 40 secretary of the Adam Library. We made a collection of all the Oasis, all the Shino Oasis.
There's so much stuff on this thing. It's infinite enough.
Yeah, because he did the basic legwork when there wasn't. Yes.
It goes without
God
saying.
Willing, next year, you don't have to do the last 10.
Year?
You didn't do anything.
What do you mean?
No, next year don't pay.
There won't be one next year.
Don't do it.
There won't be one next year. Stop being such a
point.
At least, like, that's a dime.
No.
Do you remember?
Of all, you know.
You have to learn. You have to
get it all. Your own
job
is
good enough to do.
An easy, meaningful fast, even though you know a meaningful doesn't matter.
It's possible to be easy. What if anything? I said to someone, she said, you know, years ago we never said meaningful.
What is why?
Because of course that's partial. That's partial. So you say have an easy. So, I said to
him, I don't
think
it's not so easy.
And I say,
why not?
Isn't it going without
you?
You have to suffer the fast?
Yes. That's what it's about.
You're not supposed to suffer.
You know, Yom Kippur.
You're not supposed to suffer.
Why are you fasting?
Because you want to lose weight.
Reflection.
I'd rather reflect on a big stomach.
Reflection.
You can't reflect on big stomach.
It's every day of the week. I have a different cane. The other day was a gold cane. Now it's a brown cane.
Just a broken cane.
It's a broken cane.
I have to get this.
I remember I once saw a movie where the guy goes into the Oval Office, so he had a cane.
It was a gun.
The metal detector. So the guy goes in, and he passed the note to him. Go, because it's like a hush for guy.
Yeah.
And he goes in, and then he goes in.
Yeah. He
kills the president.
You don't need a big thing. You use a pencil.
You gotta be careful. You don't fall down with that. If you're relying on that to walk.
You know what you can do with this?
No, you're going to say something that nice to
me. You put
in
a diamond.
A diamond thing,
and you can...
Kill someone.
Yeah, put it around them and...
Wow. Yeah, scary stuff here.
Yeah, conspiracy theories.
Very, very fun.
I want to jump over.